What's up, loved ones? My name is Johnny Scott Gramercy. I'll be your selector this evening. This is Neighborhood Love Radio. How you doing? Hey, tonight I got in the chair Chris Brand and Little Roy Corona. What's up, guys? Yeah. They work at a shop, Good Time Charlie's Tattoo Land. Legendary shop. Legendary. Down in Anaheim, California. We're going to talk a little bit about the history of that shop, and there's a lot of history there. I think about 36 years that shop's been open, something like that. And we're going to chop it up and bring up a thing or two. I also got some music tonight for you from D'Angelo, Fela Kuti. To start you off, though, is The Undisputed Truth, Little Red Riding Hood. Please enjoy, loved ones.
In my jams, when your red dress caught my eye.
Hey, hey, hey.
So I said to myself, what is thou rose doing in the ghetto? My, my, my.
Hey, hey.
Let me tell you something, Red. Ain't no sense in you acting stuck up. And so did I. What kind of folks live on this side of the city?
Hey.
My vibrations tell me love between me and you is just around the corner.
Hey.
So if you would be so kind as to let me help you down off your high horse. Oh, come on, girl. You know you really are. And don't worry about your boy.
Something about that jive, two time and care.
Hey,
and this is a fact.
Hey,
listen,
hey,
you don't love me. It's all the time, huh?
You don't
and
need
it's gonna
me.
Put you down.
You don't love
you
me.
Love you like I do. I bet you didn't know that.
Smelling cigarette is that I'm smoking.
Hey, hey, hey.
Is you some kind of full-time square? Huh, I know you got to be joking.
Hey,
Red, seems I've been talking for days and I ain't getting nowhere. But if it'll make you happy, I'll gladly go and process my hair.
Hey,
just to show you how much
hey,
I care.
Hey,
forget
hey,
about your boyfriend. That's right, you heard.
Undisputed Truth, Little Red Riding Hood from the Smiling Faces record. Next up, I got Don't Tell Me a Lie and I Won't Tell the Truth About You from James Brown, Godfather of Soul.
Don't tell a lie. Don't tell. Very good, Tito Chicoma.
Yeah, some salsa music. I guess technically not soul music, but it's definitely got some soul in there. Hey, how about some Charles Bradley and the Menahan Street Band from the aptly titled Daptone Gold record? Prior to that, we heard Fat Mama. I'm going to do my best to not butcher the name. Hiro Chikoma, the Sioux Orchestra, on the Peruvian label Mag Recordings. Before that, we heard Don't Tell a Lie About Me and I Won't Tell the Truth About You by the godfather of soul, Mr. Dynamite, soul brother number one, the hardest working man in showbiz, James Brown. James Brown is crucial to it. Prior to that, we heard Little Red Riding Hood by the Undisputed Truth, early 70s Motown band. Thank you, Love Notice, for joining us. I got Chris Brand and Little Roy Corona. What's up, guys?
What's happening, man?
How are you doing this evening?
They work in a little shop called Good Time Charlie's Tattoo Land. 36 years, is that right? The shop's been around?
38, I believe.
38, all right. And founded by Jack Rudy.
Actually, founded Charlie by Mr. Cartwright. Good Time Charlie.
Oh, he was
Cartwright.
A founder.
No, Charlie Cartwright. He's the founder.
The one and only.
Yeah, Jack just happens to be the owner now.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. Yeah, we're going to be talking a bit about the history of that shop, and I know you guys got stories, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let them fly. So let's start, let's talk with you, Roy, a little bit.
All right.
Leroy Corona. How long you been at the shop there?
I've been there 13 years now.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah, I've been... I got there probably like 5 or 6 months after Chris Brand right here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And did you apprentice there or did you work...
No. I apprenticed in Norwalk years before that. Worked at Long Beach Tattoo and Automoon Tattoo.
Oh, no kidding.
Around the corner. Actually, yeah, I was around the corner for about 5 years.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I've been managing it 13 years.
Tell me a little bit about what you know about the history of the shop, its beginnings.
Well, if you check out that Tattoo Nation movie, that'll break it down. But more or less, it opened up in 75 in East Los Angeles. And it was a good time. Charlie Cartwright that opened it up with Jack. He brought Jack in. And, you know, the rest is history, you know. They picked up guys along the way, Freddie Negrete. Mike Brown, there was a guy creeper there for a long time. There's been a lot of people, you know what I'm saying?
Mark Mahoney.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Corey Miller.
Yeah, there's the,
Kate
I mean,
Hellenbrand.
A lot of names, a lot of names.
Now you mentioned they opened up in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
What neighborhood was that, do you know?
As far as...
The original shop.
It was on Whittier Boulevard. I don't know the exact address. Mm. But there was two locations, you know.
Okay.
But I couldn't tell you exactly.
I don't know if this is kind of an ignorant question. Probably is, but fuck it. Was there like an ideal or a theology going on? Or is it just like, hey, just somebody just wanted to make some money off of some sailors and convicts?
No, it was way more than that. Yeah, it was, you know, because they, you know, they were tattooing, doing sailor stuff down there in Long Beach, you know. But, you know, Charlie wanted to reach out to a community that he knows that love tattoos, you know, and then the style of tattoos that they like to do, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was a lot behind it. And, you know.
Yeah,
go ahead and chime in, Chris.
Well, I mean, as far as I understand, the way Charlie's always spoken the gospel of black and gray is he looked at tattoo a little bit differently than a lot of the sailor style or traditional American style tattooers were looking at tattoos as just, you know, we've got some pictures on the wall and let's get them in and get them out and let's just do this and make some money and let's just do this. It was more about wanting to do something for the people's, something different for the people, something the people were requesting, which was a more delicate way of approaching a tattoo, the way they were doing it in prison. And Charlie wanted to make that happen for the public. And he did his best. And I mean, shit, 38 years later, it's still going strong.
Sure.
Yeah.
Black and gray. You mentioned black and gray. I think most folks will know what you mean, but maybe a couple others might not. Could you explain the term black and gray?
I mean, black and gray tattooing in this day and age, and definitely back then, it was more about representing... you know, the best way I could put it was, as I just said before, a delicate, more realistic, pictorial image on the body.
Mm-hmm. And were just colors not used at all then? Or?
No, not at all. Just black and skin and a little bit of water. And the next thing you know, you've got these dark blacks and you've got these smooth grays.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got, you know, the darkest of gray to the lightest of gray. And this was stuff that just wasn't happening in your average tattoo shop back in those days, back in the 70s. It was all very thick, bold black lines and, you know, bright colors and a lot of places where, you know, we've got the brightest colors around. We've got 7 colors available. And then a couple of years later, we've got 12 colors available. But Charlie was all about the black. Just give me some black and some beautiful skin and we're going to make all those shades, all those tones that happen in a beautiful black and white photograph happen on your skin. And this was, as I say, this was something that was happening in the prison system.
Mm-hmm.
And they were getting a lot of requests for stuff like that. So they did their best. At the time, it was, you know, Charlie was spearheading this and he had Jack as his right-hand man. And they were doing their best to try to figure out how can we achieve that look without having to send people to prison, you know? Because, you know, people on the streets were asking for it.
Roy, you mentioned the movie a little bit earlier. The movie's called Tattoo Nation. Right.
Yeah.
I checked into that. I'm holding a copy right here. Thanks, guys. And you could find that loved ones. You could find that movie. I think you can find it streaming. You could also buy it on DVD and see a trailer at TattooNation.com.
Dot We're also com. Carrying that in the shop, too, and a lot of the local tattoo shops also carry it.
What's the shop address there?
It's 2641 West Lincoln, Anaheim, California.
Yeah. I know your website's sort of in a building stage, right? But your Instagram's just fat with pictures.
Yeah. We're on Instagram at Tattooland.
Tattooland.
And we're reworking a Facebook page. And we're also working with Tattoo.com. Mm-hmm.
We got a couple minutes here. Let's elaborate on the movie a little bit. It's directed by Eric Schwartz. And,
correct.
A lot of testimonials, it looks like. Man, Danny Trejo, Travis Barker, Ed Hardy, Mr. Cartoon. I only watched the trailer, so I hold the copy right here. I can't wait. But it seems like, go ahead and correct me if I'm wrong, it's going to tell me some shit that maybe I don't know about the evolution of tattoo work.
Most definitely.
Yeah, definitely. It's really informative, you know. I dug it. I've been watching it over and over, and I went to everyone in the theater, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's great, you know, and even knowing a lot of the people in the movie video just makes it that much more better because, you know, you know the reality of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. you can watch something and know what's bullshit and what's not. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah.
It's good, man. And it's good to see my people up there. You know what I mean?
For sure, yeah.
And one of the good things that's going to help out with the movie, too, it might get you a little bit inspired to learn a little bit more. And if you want to learn a little bit more, you can go to any of these tattooers who are still alive and actually physically ask them questions and learn even more about the history of it.
I mean, let's be real here. You guys are a little bit biased on the movie. Have you gotten what kind of feedback have you gotten on it?
Nothing but positive feedback, yeah. Definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
As a legitimate doc, you know, aside from subject matter, like, is it a well put together movie?
Oh, I think so. They definitely did their homework.
Yeah. I mean, we'd like to. The problem is, I can't say I've spoken, or I don't know if Roy has spoken to that many outsiders from the industry. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear from someone who has nothing to do with tattooing how they thought the movie was.
No, the only direct one I got was we talked a little bit after Mike about our buddy Big Richie. Mm. And he's the one who actually gave me the heads up about the movie.
Oh, cool. He just bought it the other day when I tattooed him.
He loves it. He loved it.
That's wonderful.
He was singing praises, yeah.
Good, sure. good.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, it helps to promote Black and Gray, which Tattooland's known for, you know?
Yeah. Again, loved ones, Good Time Charlie's Tattooland. They're down in Anaheim. And you can find them on the Instagram is probably the best way to look right now.
Most definitely.
At Tattooland. As far as the movie that we're talking about, Tattoo Nation. You can find that at tattoonation.com. And what's the address there again, please?
It's 2641 West Lincoln, Anaheim, California.
Anaheim, California. How's the food around the shop? What's your guys' favorite place?
Our favorite place, well, my favorite place shut down, what was it, about a year ago? Chilitos?
Mm. Yeah, Chilitos. That was everyone's favorite.
That was
but now,
babe,
we it got Papa's Soul Food Cross Street now.
Yeah. What is it?
Some soul food.
Papa's
Soul.
That's my favorite.
All the way from Atlanta, man.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. That's my favorite. Yeah, I love chicken and greens.
Oh, yeah, they can burn out some yard bird right there.
They got good pork. Specifically, they make what they call the Solrito.
Uh-huh.
And I will Solrito. Quote the Solrito, and I quote, Solrito done changed the game.
That's right.
Anyway, you guys hanging out? I want to come back and talk to you in just a little bit.
Fantastic.
And let's play a little bit more music. Next up, the set I got is the Hempolyx. I don't know a lot about this. A buddy of mine played a song and I found him on a comp, but there's not a lot online. But they do have a website, hempolyx.co.uk. The tune is called Sirius from the Roots Uprising compilation. Please enjoy, loved ones.
Money operation growing all the time. sometimes it seems like we're in the end game. We're getting serious. All the same, people with money not taking no risk, so we have to get clever with our own tricks. All of our tunes are professionally mixed. If there's a problem, it gets instantly fixed. With inspiration from the cess, yes, the highness. Oh, Lord, me hear them calling. Lord, me hear them bawling. Look down, me check them a skanking. I time them a fit me singing. Yes, I time them a fit me singing. And it is a serious tricks, serious lyrics, serious. We mix the art and the business. Serious damage, serious. We manage everything that go on in our district. Serious rhyme, serious. We mind the operation, growing all the time. What else we gonna do? We have to get through. We want a piece of the future too.
Yes, please go play on the musical bar. It's just a musical war. I'll put on my iron shoes and walk all over earth. I'm gonna put on my money boots and step all over earth.
The music loud from the music.
Song you heard though was Lee Perry, Chase the Devil. Not really Lee Perry though, really double standard, and with Lee doing the vocals there, but Lee gets top billing just because he's fucking Lee's Scratch Perry, you know what I mean? Ari Up was also on that song, and double standard is kind of just basically running the whole Lee Scratch Perry Black Art Studio thing. But it's a great comp called Return from Planet Dub. David Lynch even does a couple vocal overdubs over the dub reggae stuff on that comp. It's kind of interesting. That's on the Collision label, Return from Planet Dub.
Is that brand new?
In 2009.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And let's see. Before that, we heard Sirius by the Hempolyx, also 2009, from the Roots Uprising comp. On the Reggae Roast label. And going back to the shop, guys, for just a minute, and I think right, you got the history and all that stuff, but just the amount of sheer fucking talent, you know? I mean, we talked about one of my old friends at the shop there, Stan Corona.
amazing stuff.
Yeah. And the man, Corona.
And who else is at the shop there?
Well, of course, Jack, you know.
Mm-hmm. Jack Rudy?
Yeah, Jack actually has been there since the doors opened.
Mr. Whale.
Yeah, Mr. Whale. Mr. Jack from way back. But anyways, he's the head of the house. And then you got me there, of course, Little Roy, and Mr. Chris Brand here. Stan Corona, which you mentioned is a good friend of yours and a family member of ours, you know.
Damn right.
And Brandy Collins, you know, she's been with us for quite a while, too. You know how many years she's been there?
I want to say at least 8,
maybe 9. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and...
Wait, Brandy?
Brandy yeah.
Collins. Does she spell with an I?
Yes, she does.
She does. An I with a little
no
heart
way,
over it.
No way is a girl named Brandy with an I Collins unattractive.
Right?
Yeah.
How did you know?
How did you know?
How did you know?
They just don't give those names to
attractive.
Well, the name ladies. They did give her is Badass Brandy.
Badass.
She's a badass.
Killing it. All right. Yeah, and then we have Evan Skredderstuhl.
Yeah.
You know Evan, of course.
Yeah, former guest on the show here.
Yeah, yeah. He was here, was it, repping Uglar?
Yeah, Uglar Works.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
Uglarworks.com, remember that.
Yeah.
And then Ryan Bloom was the our latest to the family. He's been there with a couple of years. He's got a really strong traditional background. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Antonio Mejia. He does...
Special guest.
He does a lot of guests sitting in. You know, he's got a lot of art projects going on too, but he still manages to come home and show the house love, you know?
Okay.
And help keep, you know, GTC alive, the name, the legacy, everything, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. Well, you guys are like a machine. It's pretty cool. Anyone we left out there?
No, no, I haven't got everyone in there.
Okay.
Oh, right next door, we got Coolsville where they do piercing.
Yeah, we have 3 great piercers over there.
Mr. Dirty Disco Dave.
Dirty Disco Dave.
Dirty Dog Dick Dave.
He does a lot of his piercings in bell bottoms, but he gets it done, you know what I'm saying?
Diamond.
In case he goes overboard.
Yeah, yeah. And then Carrie manages that spot over there. That's Jack's wife.
She'll do you right.
Yeah, she'll do you right. And then Eva's our latest addition, a little bubbly girl that's just awesome, great personality, and a good piercer. So, you know, they're that's getting cool. down over there, too.
So if you need a hole to be filled,
right,
head on down to Coolsville.
Or if you don't have a hole and you need one,
they'll poke you. They won't stick you. They'll just
have you guys ever thought of starting up your own show here, man? You guys got banter and savoir faire, man. You do it.
Now, we were speaking to the producers earlier, and they thought it was a great idea.
We're thinking of maybe doing an on-the-road type show, you know what I'm saying?
Kind of the
new age BJ and the Bear.
That's right.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And not Bear like, you know what I'm saying, the bear that cruises the bars, you know?
And not BJ like...
Not like BJ either, you know?
It did turn out to be an unfortunate name.
Yeah, it'd be more like BJ Simon and Simon.
It was a good show, though.
A heart-to-heart.
There you go.
Chris, I want to talk to you about... let me see, Perseverance. And basically the way I understand it is it's a collective art show at the
Japanese-American National Museum.
Yes, sir. And as far as I know, please correct if I'm wrong, there's a lot of artists, but there's a handful of featured artists rooted in traditional Japanese work. And that's as far correct. As I know, you are the only non-Japanese person featured.
Only Gaijin.
Yeah.
Featured in this.
Gaijin.
Which I question sometimes.
I do like rice. I do like noodles. I love me some ramen.
He is the ramen fanatic.
And that's at the Japanese American National Museum.
That is correct.
Starting next year, but it's running for like what, 6-8 months?
No, yeah, it'll be up for about 6 months. Every month we're going to be having some sort of wonderful event, whether it's live tattooing or a lecture series. There's going to be quite a few stuff.
Can you elaborate a little bit on the artwork itself? And forgive me if I butcher this name. Kuniyoshi's heroes, like traditional work, like the back pieces.
Well, what I'm doing with that, and this is the main reason why I'm in this exhibition, is I wouldn't even say Kuniyoshi. Basically, you have these stories, these wonderful stories of outlaws who are willing to fight the power, per se. Mm-hmm. They're willing to get together and rise up against a very oppressive government. Mm-hmm. And this is an old Chinese story, and this struck a chord in Japan. And you had artists like the famed Hokusai and the artist that you're just mentioning right now, Kuniyoshi. And basically, these are visual artists, and what they did was depicted these wonderful heroes who were willing to fight the power, and this gained a lot of popularity in the mass populace. You know, we didn't have TV, we didn't have the internet back then, so this was books, this was stories, this was plays. Very exciting to the people. And one of the very special things about these heroes, 108 of these heroes, is that they were all tattooed, or nearly all of them were tattooed. But anyway, this in turn made tattooing very popular in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So this is years and years ago, decades ago, back in the Edo period, 18th century.
Before the 80s.
Before the 80s, before the 70s, before funk existed, there was some funk. But anyway, so you had a very, very big boom of popularity in tattooing. And so these stories got told years and years and years, generations and generations through Japanese tattooing.
And this show represents a handful of masters in this specific type of craft.
Basically, yeah, this show is representing every angle possible, representing the real traditional Japanese tattooing, current and in different locations throughout Japan and different locations throughout the U.S. and different locations throughout Europe. And what I'm trying to do personally is take these stories that we were just discussing and retell them in a late 70s, early 80s East Los Angeles setting.
Okay.
Which is basically trying to reflect our heritage from Tattoo Land, from Good Time Charlie's Tattoo Land. A heritage and a culture that we've been able to uphold, really keep as a legacy. And so basically I'm trying to celebrate two worlds, two wonderful, wonderful cultures, and put them together.
The art show is called Perseverance, the Japanese Tattoo Tradition in a Modern World. It's running from March 8th to October 5th at the Japanese, of next year, 2014, at the Japanese American National Museum. I'm definitely going to be mentioning that down the road because, you know, it's a little bit down the road, but I am looking forward to this. You guys hanging out? You want to hear a little more tunes?
Yeah, give me some.
Here's some Blue Eyed Soul from Mayor Hawthorne.
Ooh, feeling that.
Keep it funky.
She plays her favorite song and fades away. change your design. Can you get a feeling? Feeling that I'm feeling. Won't you come closer to me, baby? Hey. Now you already got me.
Behind me, you like that, Little Roy, huh?
Oh yeah,
you like
that too. Ooh, I remember that one.
Hey, Little Roy, he's got an Instagram at tattoo artist Little Roy. What's your Instagram there, Chris?
I just go through at Tattooland and at Uglar Works.
Okay, excellent.
I like families, and so I go through my families.
Excellent. And Good Time Charlie's Tattoo Land and down in Anaheim, California. Go check them out. You won't be sorry. What I've always recommended with any kind of shop with multiple artists in it, like people could say, oh, go to my guy, he's the best, or go to my guy, the best. You know, you got to feel the individual work. So
that's right.
Would you agree with that? Like, go down, look through the books.
Oh, that's see what literally, speaks with you. Literally, you know? Exactly what you just said.
Yeah.
People walk in and we say, let me stop you right here. Here's our portfolios. Yeah. We'd like you to look at our books.
Yeah. Find out what speaks to you.
Exactly. The work speaks for itself.
For sure. Good Time Charlie's Tattoo Land, Anaheim, California. Thanks so much for coming down, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us,
Jay. Yeah, most definitely. Thank you.
For sure. I'm here at Skid Row Studios recording this to you now. Skid Row Studios has an app if you visit the iTunes App Store. Or for you Android users, you can find it on Stitcher.com. And if you enjoy the other programs here at Skid Row Studios, like Vic Cohen's It's a Fair Question or Los Angeles Nista or Intellectual Kink, you have it all right there in your pocket next to your privates whenever you want it. Also, Neighborhood Love, neighborhood-love.com. Check them out for the latest. They got a video right now done by the Elementary for Elsa's trip to New York. My name is Johnny Scott Gramercy. I've been your host and selector this evening. Thank you so much, Jeremy the Hammer Hansen in the booth. Thank you so much. And thank you, loved ones. Goodbye.